This is Mouth Media Network. Amplify and connect.
Hi, I'm Sylvie Chandecaille. I'm the CEO and creator of Chandecaille. It's a very interesting family company, and we are at the head of the curve in luxury. We're also natural, and we are very, very, very happy to be able to support a lot of different environmental charities. That is our pride and joy. What I love about beauty is that it's an incredible business, which is similar to the movie business. It requires intelligence, creativity, a sense of leadership, and a vision. You have to know where you're ending, and you have to be very specific on the details. You cannot keep your eyes off the detail, and you cannot keep your eye off the end. So it's a very unusual business, and I'm crazy about it.
Get ready for a beauty business masterclass. Sylvie Chandecaille is a pioneer in the beauty industry, from personalization to biotech to environmental causes. With her namesake brand, hear how she applies scientific innovation of plant-based stem cells to amplify the performance of natural ingredients. Her global brand has become a platform for her philanthropic efforts and to educate consumers on how we can be more socially responsible citizens.
From New York City, you're listening to Beauty is Your Business, covering the intersection of innovation and business in the beauty industry.
Welcome to Beauty is Your Business. I'm Karen Moon. I'm joined here with my co-host, Abby Wallach.
Great to be here.
And Sylvie, it's so nice to have you on the show. You've made a tremendous progress, won awards for a lot of the work you guys are doing at Chandecaille. I wanted to start with kind of what you opened up with. You know, a lot of the causes and also just the essence of the brand, you know, being luxury, but melding the, you know, natural and science. Tell us what the brand stands for today and how that's evolved, because it's not just on trend. You've been doing this for 20 years.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I started my own company, I had a long life in the beauty industry already. And I was really ready to start me. You know, I always joke that life for women starts at 50. And I think that it really does, because in a funny way, this is when you're willing to do the thing the way you want, not what everybody wants from you, but what you want. And I've always been a natural girl. You know, I wanted to do the first health food store when I was 20. I was always interested in health and very natural. I've got a Nordic side to me, which is healthy bread, healthy vegetable, healthy fruit, you know, yogurt, nuts. That's my life. And I wanted to really bring into luxury and science, health and nature. My feeling was that if I'm going to create a luxury product, and I had no intention of not doing a luxury product because this is what I believe in. I believe it should be incredibly good. And incredibly good requires money. So unfortunately, it has to be a little bit of a luxury. I thought my job is to make it healthy for the women who buy it. My job is to think of them and to think of their health. And if I can do a product that is not only good for you, but can also support their immune system, then I'm really doing a good job. And I've been sick in my life. I had that Lyme disease really badly. And I had gone through all kinds of really crazy stuff with antibiotic for a year intravenously, you know, really the stuff that takes you down. And I studied a lot of alternative medicine. I've always been interested in Qigong, in acupuncture, in Chinese medicine, and also really in herbs. So I knew quite a bit about plants and herbs, and I just wanted to do something that no one was really thinking of. And it wasn't a competition thing. I was not even thinking about the others. I was just thinking, I want to create something that is incredibly good. That's all.
And you have. I can attest to that from working with you all those years ago, from the very first lipsticks in the palette to your first makeup brushes. You really have a beautiful, luxurious product that women really talk about in that way. And you, when you set out on that path all of those years ago, what were you thinking of in terms of putting together your ingredients and your packaging? And what was the, because you had such a depth of knowledge mm-hmm. from being in the industry, mm-hmm. you know, this is a long time ago mm-hmm. compared to where we're at today. What was your vision and your mission to accomplish?
Well, just what I explained now is that I want to create something incredibly good for you.
Yes.
So I'm thinking, if you're going to buy something with a bit of money, you know, I have to give you something really good. Mm-hmm. And my thing was always, give, if it's not better than anybody else, why do it? Mm-hmm. You know, I always thought the product should be better. If I look at a product and I've seen others and it's, some others are better than mine, I'm missing the boat. I have to make it better. And I always believed in that, because I believe that in the industry, you know, where I was coming from, a lot of the money went into the packaging and the advertising, and the product suffered somewhat. My instinct was, put the money in the product first and stick to it and be relentless on mm-hmm. quality of the product. And then do a nice packaging, because visually, you know, I'm very artistic, so I want to do something pretty, something good quality. But don't just think of the product as a packaging or as an advertising product. Think of it as an amazing product first and
so
always.
Can you dive more into, especially the idea of immunology? I think is really interesting, because it is so true. Our skin is beautiful if we're you know, taking care of
it's
ourselves.
It's a large part of our body. It's the biggest organ we
exactly.
have.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So where kind of have you guys innovated, and where would you say are like your hero kind of areas?
Well, I think we've been able to, first of all, not use anything toxic. That was very clear. No preservatives that are toxic, no emulsifier that are toxic, none of the phthalate, none of the things that we know are not good. That was from day one. We had an enormous list of not acceptable in the list. But what we had that was really created from was plants, herbs, and we're the first one to really work on stem cells of plants mm-hmm. and work really, really well with them. We're the first company to come out with product with stem cells. And we were very, you know, I have a scientific side and I have an artistic side and I have a health nut side. So the three together.
You're a little nutty.
Totally nutty. So the three together have to always be combined. And we met incredible people that were working with stem cells. And we wanted to every year test like 20 different plants and see what we're doing, the most interactive thing for us, the most interesting. And we've developed all those stem cells along the line, you know, so each one of our products usually have 3 or 4 at least stem cells to just be more efficient. Because, you know, the thing which is so interesting now with the clean stuff mm-hmm. is that many companies come and say, we're clean. Yeah, but what's in it? Mm-hmm. What is it really doing? You know, you can do something clean, but is it functioning? Is it performing? Mm-hmm. What is it doing for you? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it very often is hyped, but not real. So I want to deliver something that I can test is really going to work. If I can, you know, I have an anti-pollution product. It actually stops the microparticle which gets into your body. You know, it actually stops. It's proven.
Now, is this mostly for your skincare line? Because you have so many aspects of the Shantakai sure. brand, right? You have your makeup.
Sure, sure, sure.
You have your foundations. You have your skincare. You have your fragrance. I mean, you have a full,
sure.
all-encompassing brand. So when you – I'm just want to dig in a little more for the audience. When you're talking about the stem cells, are you – is this pertaining to the skincare aspect of the business?
First, it started with the skincare, and now it's gone into makeup as well.
But the stem
example,
cells themselves. Oh,
yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is so when you test these products, when you formulate.
Let me just start.
Yes.
You start from the plant. You don't start from the product. You start from the plant.
Okay.
So you're growing these plants. And when you grow stem cells, you know, it's about this big. It's tiny. It's about 2 inches tall. You know, very small. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't require much water. So it, originally, it's very interesting mm-hmm. on, you know, an environmental level, because mm-hmm. you're not using water to grow these plants.
Oh, interesting.
So using very little. So you have all these plants and let's assume you take something like, a plant that you know is good against the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So you will then, in the lab, put those little baby plants, and then you will increase the amount of sun they would get artificially, so that the plant will develop a further ability to protect themselves. So you're growing that ability further than they would normally have in the field.
That's fascinating. Interesting.
And then you're harvesting that.
Oh.
And that's what you're harvesting.
So it's almost taking the essence of what makes it good, but increasing efficacy.
Yes.
And then I would imagine that if it's biosynthetic, then you also can control like other elements, like in terms of consistency.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. So you can have an incredibly efficient product.
Mm-hmm.
And that product can act, so then does it act on the body? You know, that's the next question.
Right.
So can these things actually increase your collagen? Can these things actually make your mitochondria get stronger? Mm-hmm. You know, these are the things you want. So you have to test all these things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then you have to realize that these products that are, maybe one is incredibly healing, maybe one is incredibly, you know, allows collagen to be better defended, a certain level of collagen, another level is another plant. You know? So you do all of these tests.
Right.
And then you have this really amazing library of products you can use and add to your product.
Mm.
So we develop new ones every year, four or five, and then we use one. You know, we don't use all of them. But it's really interesting. So that side is a lot of fun. Mm. The scientific
like
side
the
is a lot.
You
I
like
love
that
the
side.
Science.
I'm actually like really
That's so
into
cool.
biotech.
Yeah,
too.
It's,
like,
it's really fascinating.
Yeah.
And did you... And is this through all through your formulators, through your chemists, through everyone within the Shantakai organization?
Totally.
All yours. They're
totally.
All. That's amazing.
You know, in the very beginning, I worked with an incredible woman that I adored. I tend to like to work with women, by the way. And this doctoress was already 70 years old. When I started, I was 50, she was 70. And she had developed La Prairie. And she would say, you know, when I would bring her with me when we were launching the line, and the journalists, they would say, so she said, you know, when Sylvie came to me, actually Nihans, when he came to me, brought me bloody cells. But when Sylvie came to me, she brought me flowers.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
right. So you know how we worked with the flowers and the plants. And I took her with me all over the south of France and all the people who decentralized everything that really want to immerse in this before we start creating anything. And it was fun.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So on the science side, I'm curious when thinking about your two sides, the science and the artistic. Is the inspiration, does it come from one place? Because there's too much, right? The right brain, the left brain. I don't know. It's a very unique asset. And way of being in the world, right?
Yeah. Well, this is why I love this business, because it requires all of this difference.
Yes.
And to put all this together, it's so much fun, you know?
Right.
So what happens with us now is I've always started to create from need. I think you look, you know, I'm lucky to meet a lot of women and talk to other women and on very different things, you know, not just customers, but on women who run charities, on women, you know, all kinds of women. And I always look at them, always think about what they would need and or talk to them and discover, you know, that this one has this and this one has that. So I always create a product from need.
Mm.
I learned this a long time ago. I had a friend who was an architect and she created Knoll Furniture. And so Shushu Knoll, I said to her, how do you create your product, Shushu? She said, always from need. If I need, you know, a table in the corner, that's what I desire. You know, and I thought, how clever, how right.
Yes.
Always right from what is needed.
Yes.
You know?
No, I was thinking a lot about the beauty industry, and we're at a very interesting moment where...
We are.
We really are, where there's such conversation about so many things, and there's so much need in so many ways. And the beauty industry really steps up for those needs, whether it's hair... Women who are suffering, you know, there's things are changing in our world. Toxins, disease, like there's so much happening every day.
People are talking. They're not afraid of
talking. They're not afraid. They're sharing their needs.
Yeah.
That's right.
People used to hide their
educated.
Right.
People used to hide their thing. They used to don't want to say it. They had anything wrong.
Do you want my list? What do you got? Give it to me. No, but it's actually a wonderful thing, because what it allows the entrepreneur to do is to innovate and create and to serve that need. But you've been on that for so long, which is so forward thinking.
And what's changed from when you started to now? There's certainly elements that have been core and authentic to your DNA. What's shifted, and like, what are you excited about? Like this next decade?
I mean, you know, it's a combination of things, because they're good thing and they're not such a good thing. And it's, there's an evolution in the business that is created by the evolution of the world right now. The fact that people are buying from Amazon and you walk on the Madison and 10 stores out of 11 are empty. I mean, you have to realize what's going on in the world too. I mean, there's a reality to business, you know.
Yes.
Right now, all of us depend on the Chinese customer, mm-hmm. because they're traveling everywhere. And it's a great thing, but it's also a curse. They stop traveling.
Right.
So suddenly most people's business is going boom, you know? Yeah. So you have to, there's a lot is based on the way the world is going.
Yes.
You know, our business is just very, very sensitive to the rhythm of the world.
Yes.
And at the same time, women always need something really good. So my feeling is that if you create something good, you will always be needed. Mm. But then you go and you look at, I was looking today at a list of the top 10 vendor people who sell because they are influencers online. And it's mind-boggling. You know, you look at this company that didn't exist 5 minutes ago, and you look at their product and you want to shoot yourself. And they are doing so much business. Mm-hmm. And they're doing business. Why? Because people don't know. People still don't know. The same way they had to go to a store and talk to somebody and try something, now they're doing it on their phone or on their computer at home. And they are saying, oh my God, this girl is so famous. She does it. I'm sure it's great. You know, it's a very interesting thing.
They know, they don't, well, because they don't know the difference.
I know.
And that's what they're being, that's the way they're being spoken to. It's a little sad in many ways.
It's just fascinating to see how everything has been changing.
Yeah.
So there's so many choices, you know. People have even
more choices
harder
than
time,
ever.
You know? Yeah, so many. You know, you don't know what's good or what's not good. You don't know what you heard yesterday. So yeah. Is this right or is this no? You know, it's very complicated, I think, for people.
Well, it's interesting. Like as an investor, you know, I see like probably like 5 beauty companies a day now, but we're always looking for like who's actually building a defensible brand. Yeah. Like it's not that hard. I mean, it's not easy, but it's also not that hard to get to 10 million in a year now. Yeah. But how can you make that last and build a lasting billion-dollar brand that actually has product differentiation, defensibility, and like a true ethos and core that lasts time and trends.
You know, the funny thing was, I remember the first 10 million very well. Mm. And I remember Pete Bourne. You know, you all know Pete.
Oh,
Bourne,
I
right?
love Pete.
Pete saying to
incredible.
Me,
incredible.
I know, he's saying, when you're at 10, call me. I said, Pete, I'll call you when I'm at 100.
For those who don't know, he's a legend and, you know,
the W
director
man.
At WWD.
He's been the most wonderful man. He knows more about the industry than anyone. He's been with us. I mean, I've known
he's
Pete
lovely.
For, what, 50 years? Mm. He's interviewed me for 50 years.
You know? Amazing. Yeah. It's incredible.
It's really amazing to reconnect with you after such a long time, and that you've so stayed true to who you are as a creator, as an innovator, as an artist, and scientists, all of those things. And it's a beautiful thing when you can remain true to your core DNA and brand and continue on that mission, because people do love it, you know.
Well, that's very nice of you to say that. I don't think there's an option.
There is no option.
You are who you are.
That's right. Well.
And I'm lucky enough to believe in my good star.
Yeah.
I've always thought that if you're on the path in the right way, it goes. Mm. I'm very, very positive.
On a lighter note,
yeah, we're going to talk about
the
snack
journey. But when a French woman says that she brought you the best croissant in New York, I mean, you don't ignore that.
Definitely. Bring it on, Sylvie.
Here it is,
where
darlings.
Is it?
Here it is
no.
in the bag.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about this?
Okay, so
beautiful...
Marie Blacher
yes.
is a Ooh. Store on 6th Avenue. I live on not very far from it, on Washington Square. And my husband goes there every morning. He gets the croissant.
Oh, amazing.
I mean, how good a man is he, right?
Yes.
And they are delicious. They import their butter from France.
Oh, wow.
So that's a better butter than what we can get here. And it works. And the croissants are amazing.
Mm, all right.
So I'll let you try them.
Should we dig in?
Please do. There's a lot of them, so you have to dig
oh,
in.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Ooh.
Hi, I'm Mark Rako. Let's talk candidly for a moment. You have a company to run. You can't shake hands with your customers. Your employees now all work from home, and virtually every part of your business has changed since yesterday. How do you deal with the impact on your organization? Manage a rapidly changing supply chain? Respond to the needs of clients and employees in crisis, all with an eye on the bottom line? In the COVID-19 Business Playbook, top experts from a variety of relevant fields call out the crucial plays you need to succeed in the face of this unanticipated crisis. Mouth Media Network's Strategy Update Series is your go-to guide for moving forward, mitigating risk, and leading your business through to tomorrow in the face of whatever new normal arises. Strategy Update COVID-19 Business Playbook. Available wherever the best podcasts are found, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
You were right, Sylvie. The butter. It's all about the butter.
All about the butter.
It always is about the butter.
The secret of the French, the butter.
Yes, the secret sauce. I always think about the Shantikai brand and your mission from the beginning. You've always stayed true to your core, to yourself, and to your family. And one of the things that I love so much is your cause-related initiatives and your belief and your acceptance of the animals and incorporating them not only as a give back, but also within your actual product. Mm-hmm. When you open a Shantikai palette, you're going to see those beautiful elephants from Africa or the mammals and whales from the ocean. So it's very special. It's very meaningful. Can you share with us a little bit about how that came together, what your initial opportunity was to go in that direction?
Sure. So it happened by accident, of course, as everything does. I was looking, my mother taught me one thing is to have my hands in the dirt. So I'm a gardener. And she was a great gardener. And I have a house in East Hampton where I have a lot of flowers. And I was watching the butterflies, and the butterflies didn't seem to come as many as they used to. And I was wondering why. So the scientist researcher on my head went and studied why a monarch butterfly not as plentiful, partly because of global warming, because the plant on which they feed when they come had already bloomed. And the other one was because the place in Mexico where their winter was being destroyed. And I thought, I'll do something with butterfly. And then the other side of me, which is the creative nut in the lab, we made these incredible butterflies eyeshadow that were made from a technique that is no longer available because it's a freaking nightmare to do. It's free mold in this tiny eyeshadow. So it was very expensive, very complicated to do, but beautiful. So you had it all the way through. It wasn't like a thing on the surface. It was all the way through the three colors and the patterns. So it was a lot of fun. So this was great fun, and they were beautiful. And it allowed us to tell the story of the butterfly. Mm. And I realized that people were interested, And I thought, okay, so what's the next thing? And I thought, I'm also a diver. So I thought corals are bleaching. Corals are bleaching everywhere. So we did corals, and that's a beautiful pattern too. So basically, if you ask me the secret is you have to have something beautiful. Mm. Because in our business, if it's not beautiful, nobody cares. Mm. And if I want women to ask me, what is this about? They have to first look at it. And they have to say, this is beautiful. So they like it. And then they ask, why are you doing this? And then we can tell the story. Mm. So it's taken years, by the way, to be able to tell the story really well and to have all the people trained to do well. So we've made hundreds of movies. We've done so much training in all the places. And it went all the way to when we start doing the baby elephants, which is a great friend of mine in Kenya, has the most amazing place. She was just here in New York 2 days ago, so it was nice. She has raised with her mother over 150 orphan baby elephants, which is incredible, and return them to the wild to live a wild life. And today there are 36 born wild grandchildren from these elephants. We bring them back to show them right away. So the great thing about this is that they have been in Nairobi able to raise. So when an elephant's mother is killed, either poached or diseased, usually it's mostly poached, the baby is traumatized like a human baby would be. Elephants are very much like humans, a lot better, I think, but like humans. So the baby is nuts. He's so upset. You know, he's seen his mother killed in front of him sometime and maybe and hacked to death. You know, it's monstrous. So he's totally traumatized. He may die from that trauma. They bring them in into Nairobi and the other baby go with them and heal them. And you see the trunk going to carry him right away. And they develop this relationship with their keepers who sleep with them. So every night they go to bed with a keeper because they need a bottle like a baby every 3 hours. And so they get this bottle every 3 hours. This lasts for a long time. They start to go out in Nairobi Park, which is right there, and learn how to get green foliage and everything while they're still on milk. They will be on milk for another 6 or 7 years. So it's an incredibly costly enterprise. Then eventually when they get bigger, they move to Tsavo, which is the biggest park in Kenya, where there are many wild elephants that will teach them. The wild elephant will come and get those young ones, take them during the day, show them how to live, show them the plants that they can have when they need to be healed, show them all the things you need to learn as an adult, and bring them back at night because they know that they need to be still protected at night in their barracks, and they get the milk and they're protected from the lions. It's an extraordinary thing.
It's a beautiful story.
It's an incredible thing. Yeah. So Angela Sheldrick, who now runs it since her mother died 2 years ago, has this extraordinary responsibility to all those elephants. Mm-hmm. And so we start by saying, adopt baby elephant. And we were saying, you know, we are making this movie showing what was going on. And we're able to, in all the stores, all the Animal Markets, staff would adopt baby elephant, the customer would adopt baby elephant, the floor would adopt baby elephant. I mean, it's amazing, you know?
Yeah.
So we've been really promoting this for quite a long time. And they need the support because those gigantic bottle of milk these kids swallow 3 times a day are very expensive. Plus the minders, but you know, it's a lot. Plus then you have to have planes bringing them in from where they were found. And then you have, after that, when they get bigger, you have to have helicopter watching over them to make sure they're not poached. I mean, there's a lot of work to be done to protect the elephants or the rhinos. So it's, you know, it's a great thing. And so this is our passion with elephant, but we've done the same thing with whales. We've done the same thing with, you know, all the animals that are threatened or are in danger, and they're incredible people working with them or protecting them. Mm. And the joy has been to meet these people and work with them. It's been great.
That's incredible.
So to use the company to do this has been my great pride and joy.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
Yeah, and you can you got an Achiever Award at movie for this, and it was incredible. It was like such a it was so eye opening. I think there's just so much education to be done. Like sometimes you just don't know. I think we live our daily lives, and unless someone shares a story in a way that's compelling and memorable, it's like hard to. You know, it's like that depth is what's so important.
You know, we don't realize that we're all connected to nature. You know, we forget when you live in concrete, you lose who you are. So for me, the great thing was, you know, I've always been diving, but I'm always also going to Kenya a lot. When I'm in the bush, I know who I am. You know where you belong.
You're one as a human.
You are where you belong. You know, you know, you understand where you fit in the whole thing. So
it's very, that's very interesting. You're right. It's true.
So you need to protect the wild spaces because that is our wealth. Mm-hmm. The day the wild spaces go, we will be gone. I think we human will be finished.
Yeah.
Because we need this. And even if we don't realize it because we live in Hong Kong or in New York or in Saigon and places where you're not into really nature, you need to understand that because deeply this is who you are. And once you're connected with nature and you're fully aware, full blown, it's like the human being just go woof and you're fully who you are and you're very strong.
Well, do you think it's because when you're in nature, it's so peaceful and there aren't the distractions, right? You're human,
you're inside,
right? You feel.
Your cells connect to nature.
Yeah.
This is who you are. You're on that evolution pattern. This is who you are.
Mm.
So there's a lot more attention now to CSR. And, you know, if you look at what Blackstone and like Larry Fink and other companies that are starting impact funds, and there's just more awareness around this, do you feel hopeful that we're going to start to see more innovation? And like, what do you think the corporate responsibility of larger companies is in a way to kind of educate and move forward initiatives that don't have, that are so vulnerable on their own?
Sure. I think that it's our responsibility. Because we take so much.
Right.
You know, we take,
exactly.
Take. So we have to give back. And the best way to give back is to support the people who live near the wild spaces. Mm-hmm. If you support the indigenous people who live near those spaces, they can protect the forest. They can protect all the animals who live in it. It's very, very important. It's and it's relatively easy to do because it doesn't cost that much money. You know, with $150,000, you can protect a large piece of land because you give a small salary to people who live nearby, who basically have nothing, and you allow them to make sure that no trees will be taken and no wild animals will be killed. And by doing this, they protect this extraordinary place, and it starts to be fully alive again. Mm-hmm. It's an extraordinary, I mean, I find this the most rewarding thing.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I think now that there's also more education, when you look at like palm oil,
yeah,
and like how detrimental that is.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
It's interesting, like
it's
Nutella,
everywhere.
Which I love.
Nutella, but, I know.
Like,
Nutella.
Thing
what's
that,
wrong with Nutella? I don't even know about that.
So I actually use this in an a beauty industry.
I'm so glad you did. Because I'm so excited about,
like,
Nutella.
Imagine if you were required to put your ingredients in order of concentration, what would happen? So there was a thing on Nutella that went viral on Reddit of how much was palm oil and how detrimental that is to the forest, and how people, and just because it's cheaper. And so it's like, it created this like huge awareness around it. And I think we're still at the early phases.
Well, palm oil is in everything.
Like, yeah.
Palm oil is in your cereals, your Nutella, of course, but it's also in your cosmetics because it's a cheap emollient. So it has been used as an alternative for emolliency everywhere. Yeah. And I can tell you that for us to fight the palm oil, which is some was priority on us, because I went to Asia to look at the palm oil plantation, and it breaks your heart.
Yeah.
It breaks your heart.
Luckily, there's a new company that got funded for a biosynthetic to change from palm oils. I think we're going to start to see better alternatives, hopefully. Mm. But it's an interesting
question of money.
Yeah.
It's all about money.
It's always about money.
Yeah.
If it can be done at a cheap price,
right,
it will work very well.
Yeah. Well, that's always the
case. And palm oil, you know, I mean, what's annoying?
Why is palm oil? I don't know why it's, why is it so bad for you?
Okay, let me explain you one. Two things. In order to palm oil, they take the forest and they kill the forest. So you've seen these orangutan. You know, the orange orangutan being taken and being killed, because that's their home.
Okay.
And that is replaced by growing palm oil.
Oh,
so
okay.
The whole part of really
wild
many
animals
countries of Asia is being destroyed.
Oh.
And all of that growth forest that was holding carbon monoxide is being destroyed. And palm oil is being planted everywhere.
Oh.
So that's why palm oil is so negative. Then on top of it, palm oil is not that good for you. I mean, I don't know enough about it, but I think in cereal, it's supposed to be not good for your stomach.
Mm.
Palm oil has.
Is that why kids are always running around with stomach aches? Well, no, you think about these things, you know.
I don't want to say that, because I don't know enough to be intelligent about it. But I know that palm oil on the conservation level is a disaster.
Mm.
Disaster. And it just burns all this forest, which we need desperately.
Right.
You know, you can't take away the forest.
There's one thing I was dying to ask you before we, like, segue. But, you know, I know you were a part of the prescriptive band, which was very early in thinking about the needs of personalization.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on personalization today, whether it be in the skincare area or makeup? Like, what's your thoughts there, and where do you think the future is headed?
Well, you know, when I did prescriptive originally, what interested me was that most people didn't look at human being as one person. Mm-hmm. You know, there were these lines that were all pinks, and they were all, you know, it was made in a very generalized system. And I was very interested in looking at people, you know, how they were all different. And I remember a few years into prescriptive, we had the census taken in the United States. Mm-hmm. And the census came up with a finding that by the year 2010, actually.
Oh, and I think we have to give some context for people. So Prescriptives was a brand owned by Estee Lauder. When was this?
I started Prescriptive in 1977. Alex was just,
It's, I feel like the millennial and Gen Z listeners are going to not know what we're talking about.
So, like, well, it was a little while ago. And you were the...
It was Pioneer.
You were the CEO of the company. Start the company.
I got started going. I was there a long time.
Wow.
Anyway, I was there 18 years. Been a long part of my life.
Pioneer in personalizing.
Sure.
So what was interesting to me was to create something that was accurate for people and was exactly them. So I always wanted to create something that looked, I'm interested in skin. I was really interested in foundation too, because I thought most foundation were wrong. And most people did not have good foundation on their face and you could see the color. At that time, the pigments were quite heavy. So you could really see the color. So I created a system by which you had undertones were unorganized. So you could see if you were more a bluish undertone or more orangey, yellow undertone. So you could see our skin was and then the different level. At that time, I had 125 shades of foundation plus custom blend.
Right, you had the custom blend. Yeah.
But it was because the technique at the time with the pigments was so heavy that you had to be very precise. Today, you can do the same thing with 12 shades.
Right.
Because it's totally
different. That's interesting. So what do you think of some of the brands today that have 40 shades of foundation? I mean, it's basically what you created all those years ago. Now they're just, it's not customized.
I mean, you know, they do whatever they want, but you don't really need that.
You don't.
You don't need that.
No.
I mean, I have not that many shades anymore, and I cover really, but we cover all the spectrum.
Right. I love that product. Your foundations are so beautiful. I remember the first one. I was going to ask you, because you're at retail across the globe, how do you feel about the digital business, and how has that impacted your brand globally?
Digital is part of the business anyway. You know, the stores have website. We have a website everywhere, and we sell on the web, obviously. And that's becoming stronger and stronger every year. And right now, if you are staying home, it's even stronger. There are two things. One is influencers, digital business, which is a whole other story. And the other one is just making it practical and easy for people to get. I believe in service. I believe that part of a luxury business has to have service. And I think people want still to be touched. I think people want to talk to a human being. So we still put a lot of money in stores. And we help those retailers who sometimes are suffering, but we help them because I believe people need to be touched. Now, I also believe that when you're on the web, you need to talk to somebody. So we have people you can talk to on our website. This is a type of business. You know, we have a business which is about making it for people as comfortable and as good for them as possible. Now, you have a whole other type of business which is blossoming like crazy, which is based on influencers. So-and-so use it, therefore it's got to be good. And that's another thing, you know, and people have to figure out. And it's another world.
You have
totally
to reach them
world.
Everywhere. You just today, you
totally
have to be
world.
Everywhere.
It's you spread something and you said this is the best or this is the worst, and everybody goes for it.
Right, right.
So I don't know.
It's exhausting.
It's influencing,
oh my God.
Influencing
well,
people.
Sophie, thank you so much for
people.
Sharing your story. Right. I mean, it's fascinating to hear, you know, the journey, like what you stand for, and then just learning more about the causes and why it's so crucial to what you're doing. So up next, we're going to get to a more personal level with Sylvie, where we get to hit the pan and ask her more about herself.
Makeup in Shanghai is the only B2B event in Shanghai with global makeup and skincare offers from ingredients, formulation, design, packaging, accessories, and full-service suppliers, along with workshops and conferences by top experts of the industry.
The next edition, July 7th and 8th, 2020, at the Shanghai Exhibition Center.
Whatever your project is, you can find the best contacts there. You can ask for a free badge on the website makeup-in-shanghai.com.
And now, it's Hitting the Pan.
So we're back and we're going to hit the pan with Sylvie. And to see who asked the first question, we are going to take a spin at this lawn chair. And it lands on Abby.
So, Sylvie, you have a family business. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful thing where each person of your family participates in a way that is meaningful to them, as you mm-hmm. shared earlier. Can you tell us and our audience what the Shantakai family does to have fun together?
Well, the thing is, we're always together.
I know. That's the crazy thing. You're always together.
Not only do we work together, but we go on vacation together. I mean, we're very close.
Thing.
We're very close. I think we really like each other. That's the thing. You know?
That's awesome.
I also think that being French and having sort of immigrated to the United States, you know, I came for 1 year and I've been here for quite a long time, and my husband too, we didn't have our family here. So we created our family and we all stayed very close.
So nice. You know? And what's been one of your most memorable vacations with your family?
Well, the last one, I just took everybody to Kenya for Christmas and New Year's.
Amazing.
And it was really fun. You know, all seven of us. And we did so many different experiences. And we went from the north to the south to the, you know, really the bush to the ocean and being able to experience all that together. And Delfina was just 6 years old, having the ball of her time, having a fantastic, you know. She loved everything. And she very, very adventurous.
What does she call you?
Oh, she calls me Mimi.
Oh, very sweet.
So, but it's good because, you know, we all, it's fun to see things together. You know,
that's beautiful.
And we're all very involved in the charity together. So we all want to see these people together. We want to do this thing together. My second daughter, is about to go to the Amazon because we're doing this thing with hummingbirds right now to protect the part of the Amazon. And she's going to go camping
with
these Asomi women, you know, which are shaman women. She's going to be sleeping in nets.
Wow. She's going to be blogging and have a GoPro on her head or something?
I don't know.
We'll see.
But, you know, last year, Philippe and Alex went to the North Pole. Mm-hmm. And that's when we did this big thing with where we planted one lipstick, one tree. Because we realized that there was not much we could do for the polar bear that they saw and they filmed and everything. And we said, what can we do? The only thing we can do is CO2. You know? So we decided that we would help plant more trees. And so we had everywhere this campaign. We sell one lipstick and we plant one tree. Turned out we actually planted two trees for each lipstick, which was great. So we planted all these trees this
year. That's beautiful.
Which is fun. Yeah, it's good. So
very inspiring, really. Truly.
It's something that everyone can get involved together, you know. And each one has that real talent. Philippe is a great, great photographer and filmmaker. So it's a really useful in what we do.
You got a good one.
Yeah,
you gave birth to some good people.
Yeah, for these very, very talented children, which is great.
Oh, that's nice.
And, you know, to give each one the space to grow is a lot of fun. And for me to see them grow as human beings is amazing.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's really the best, you know. So, yeah, we're close.
Oh, it's beautiful. Thank you. So we'll take one more spin at this lawn chair. And, of course, it lands on me. So I wanted to ask you, I mean, you've done there's, like, such a vision and purpose behind everything you've done to date, including the causes. Kind of, like, what's something that you're excited to do next that you haven't spent as much time on as you've liked? Like, if it's whether it's a cause or something else you want to achieve?
You know, there are always things I want to achieve. My next thing is to make enough money to buy a lot of land to preserve. I'm really, to me, the biggest thing is to maintain green space, maintain big tract of very sensitive wild space so the animal can have a place. You know, we work with elephant in Asia and elephant in Africa. In Asia, there are lumps of forests that are not connected. So these poor animals can't connect from one to the other, and they cannot move. And wild animals have to move, you know, for all the reasons, not just for the food, but also for the genes. You know, the gene pool has to be moved. Everything has to be moved. And so to create these corridors of space is very, very important. So for me, that's really going to be my next 10 years is to protect elephants.
That's amazing.
I love elephants more than anything else. I find them extraordinary. They have a sense of family that is like us, but better. They are so much more forgiving and kind. And they are matriarchs, mostly running the family. And I relate to them. I love them.
That's incredible.
Yeah. That's your spirit.
Yeah, I love them.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
Do what you feel is really good. Don't never compromise. Do what you feel in your heart is the right thing. And trust yourself. Trust yourself. I think many of you, when you start in this, it seems so complicated and so competitive, and you forget to trust yourself. Mm-hmm. And it takes a few years to get to trust yourself, but you have to. If you could have trust yourself from day one, you'd be so much further already.
Yeah. Mm. So, Sylvie, what's the best way for listeners to get in touch?
Well, we have a website that when you receive letters, then they send it to me. So I get really connection with this. And otherwise, our Instagram, Shanakai, is great also. And and then through the stores also. Go to the stores, talk to the girls. Mm-hmm. And they'll email me or they'll send a message to the office. It's a good way too.
Right. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, your passion, what you're passionate about next. I know for me it was like very educational to learn. And it's really a like almost like a really role model type way to think about business and the responsibility we have in terms of everything we do as businesses, entrepreneurs, and leaders.
So absolutely.
Thank you for sharing that.
Well, thank you for having me. It was great fun.
Thank you.
I love seeing you again.
It was so great. Wonderful to see you.
And Abby, as always, so much fun doing this together with you.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks to everyone for joining us for another episode of Beauty is Your Business. We look forward to seeing you on the next show. Hugs and kisses.
This has been Beauty is Your Business, produced by Mouth Media Network. Copyright 2019. Keep in touch on Instagram and Facebook at Mouth Media Network. And find prior episodes at beautyisyourbusiness.com and wherever the best podcasts are found. Your brand message can be on this show. Email us to find out more at podcast@mouthmedianetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is Mouth Media Network. Amplify and connect.